Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we have a chance to talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And I'm really pleased to have with us this morning our friend Efrat Pfefferman. Efrat's the Executive Director of United Way here in Monroe County. Good morning, Efrat. How are you?
Good morning, Denise. I'm doing great. Hope you are too.
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's good to see you. So you just had an exciting event this past week.
It was so exciting to be able to kick off our annual fundraising drive, Reimagine the Future, in person, safely outdoors at the mill, with so many of our partners and supporters and others from the community who came together to get excited about the work ahead and all of the people that are involved in it and help carry it out. This is our big time of year to raise support for United Way's work and all of our partners' work in the year ahead. And there's a lot of work to do.
So what are some of the things then that you're hoping with the title Reimagining Our Future? Are there things you're focusing on this year that you're hoping to help support?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a tough year, and the past year continued to see a lot of our families and individuals in our community struggling with loss, with uncertainty, with the stress that came along with all of this pandemic stuff. People who had never stood in line in a food pantry had to turn to food pantries, mm-hmm. and kids struggled to take on remote learning with adults in their household that maybe weren't equipped to help them with that. And people needed extra access to mental health services. And our most vulnerable in our community, our unhoused individuals, had extra challenges given the need to be safe from COVID. Mm-hmm. And so as we worked on all of these things, the theme for the year ahead really emerged, and that is to reimagine our future, to reimagine it to where families don't need to wait in line at a food pantry, and people are housed safely and securely, and families have that access to technology, to mental health care, to physical health care, to supports within their neighborhoods and communities that help them be resilient and weather whatever comes ahead. So we're excited to reimagine the future. We know that our community is poised to do so together because we have worked so well together in the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. All come together in all of the ways that we can to respond. And mm-hmm. now it's time to plan ahead, to build resilience for our community, for our safety net, for our families and individuals and households. And that's what this drive is all about.
So it's very important work, of course. And you've mentioned, of course, the impact from the pandemic, making some of these needs even more dire than they often are. Can you talk a little bit too, how do individuals get involved? Do workplaces get involved? Talk a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, how does this whole thing work?
Absolutely. The fundraising drive really does rely on a lot of folks throughout our community to help us. Workplaces often participate as a way for them to come together and to do something to support the community. And so, if you're someone at your business place who wants to sort of take that initiative, contact us. We'll give you all the tools you need to sort of get your coworkers and others excited and make a big impact through the work this fall. It's not hard. It's a couple of weeks of raising awareness, and we are here to help and provide all the tools needed. So folks can reach out to us. You have our contact number. I'll share it again. It's 812-334-8370, and my extension's 15. And then we have our website with all the contact info on there too, Monroe. Mm-hmm. org. So great way for businesses to partner with us this time of year and support the fundraising drive. Mm-hmm. And then individuals throughout the community can contact us as well. There'll be a lot of mail going out to folks, especially since things are still a bit remote and digital. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get something in your mailbox, get on our website or give us a call. We'll mail you materials. You can take a look at all the info in there and see how you want to support United Way. We welcome any and all types and sizes of support. It could be a check, it could be a recurring donation that is automatically withdrawn. Mm-hmm. It can be sales of stock. A lot of people mm-hmm. like to do that towards the end of the year, before the tax season arrives. And you know, it be something creative and fun as well. Last year we had our friend Trent Decker did a comic book readathon and collected for every page he read. And I know 2 hours into reading out loud on Zoom, he might have been regretting that, but he really got it was a lot of fun, and we love creative stuff like that too.
Sure. That sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, you mentioned too, that all the different things that this helps support. And so, you know, is it, what about the size of the gift? Do people have to make large donations, or I'm sure is there a range from small to large donations, and how does that help? What does that help support?
Yeah, it is a range. You know, our Vanguard givers, are those who really make the most strong commitment, and there are tiers for that, and we celebrate them in many different ways. Those are really important and meaningful ways to support United Way in our work. But we also have a lot of donors that come in with, you know, the $5, the $25, the $50, or maybe it's $1, $2 from their paycheck every time. Mm-hmm. That all adds up. That mm-hmm. all adds up to the 1.2 or 1.3 million that we typically raise this time of year. It is because of all of those donations piled together. And that's mm-hmm. what helps us make the big mm-hmm. impact. Like, you know, last year, Denise, I mean, when I look at these numbers, they're a little mind-blowing sometimes, but, you know, United Way dollars helped over 6,700 individuals, mm-hmm. adults and children, access physical and mental health care services and supports. It helped over 8,700 community members in our region access affordable housing, financial products, and related services. So mm-hmm. we're talking about economic security. We're talking about health. We're talking about the basic needs that everyone deserves in our community. And this is how we come together and make sure our neighbors have them.
Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, from talking with you in the past, it's always impressive how your partner organizations really help stretch those dollars. You know, we've had the food bank on before, and they've talked about how donations, you know, it's not like you and I going to the grocery store. It's they have access to food that costs much less. And so they really do a great job stretching money. I think all of your partners do.
They do. They do. Yeah, you find that with sheltering people, with feeding people, with attending to the many needs of our community. Absolutely. They do a great job. They've been collaborative and creative, and just stepped up to meet all the needs in our community, not just the past year and a half, but really over the years. Mm-hmm. I think why we were in a place to be able to respond quickly because of that mm-hmm. strong network, established partners that you know, put in the work day in and day out, along with their staff and volunteer force.
Mm-hmm. Now, usually too, you know, I know you've talked about before any large companies, organizations stepping up. I know you've talked about IU in the past, and any groups like that having campaigns or doing their own fundraising for this.
Yes. So we actually, the day after our community kickoff, we were at IU with all of the folks involved over there in the IU employee and faculty and staff effort. They had a fantastic program with the two co-chairs they introduced, Paul Helmke, many of you know from all of his work. In government, local and federal, and then Maddie White, who's the deputy director for athletics, joined as well and gave a really inspiring keynote address. And we got to hear from the new provost, John Applegate, and all of the folks involved in that effort. IU is such a big workplace that it takes some volunteer structure in there. They do it beautifully, and we're ever grateful because it is our largest partnership in the area, meaning it is the most impactful. But then, you know, a few days before, I was at Koenig on the west side here talking to about 8 guys who work there and who wanted to learn more about, you know, our work and how they can help. So if you're over there, you'll see our piggy bank on their counter. they're running their campaign, and a lot of others are kicking theirs off soon from some of our partners and, you know, banking to Great West Casualty to you know, some of the larger workforces, and they'll do this throughout the fall. IU Health is usually our last one in January, maybe Hoosier Energy that time of year, but a lot of them will be kicking off their efforts in the next couple few weeks, and we love to see all the creativity and all the just all the good heartfelt intentions of those efforts.
And it gives, like you said, it gives those companies and workplaces a way to do some fun activities at the same time and build awareness of all those different issues that you're talking about.
Right.
So with the pandemic, you know, we're finding a lot more people too are sort of freelancing or working from home, you know, and doing a combination of gig work. So if, you know, those folks are listening and they want to get involved in Reimagine Our Future, what do you suggest for them?
Well, I think there's a few ways. And I guess let me talk for a minute about give, advocate, volunteer. Yes. that's our tagline. And we try to offer all three of those for folks to engage with us and support with us. So giving, we talked about, it's easy. If you're not affiliated with the traditional workplace, you can get online and give. You can text to give. Keep an eye on our social media for quick, easy links, and every little bit helps. Advocate. So this is why United Way offers the Wake Up with United Way series. It is this year done virtually on Zoom every second Thursday of the month. And so on October 14th, join us from 8 to 9 a.m. to learn more about caring for our children. And this is talking more about the systemic level. So how did we as a community adapt to COVID and take care of children, whether it was preschools, after school programs, the unique model that our Boys and Girls Club put together for pods to keep kids safe while adults, essential workers, went to work. We're gonna explore those things and talk about what lessons we've learned as a community and what we see moving forward now that we have that experience under our belt. So that's the advocacy realm. And then volunteer. So we are actually now back to offering some things in person safely in the month to come. And on our website is a calendar that you'll soon see some quarterly events that you can sign up for. We call them mini days of action. And these are opportunities to come join us and help do something like, say, 1 month we're going to be assembling gift baskets for people who've moved out of new families and into their own homes.
Great.
for their homes with supplies and handy things. And it's volunteers who help, you know, make those and put those together and then deliver those to these families and to our partners. So you can sign up on our website for that. If you go to MonroeUnitedWay.org/events.
Great. So, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
No, it's great that you mentioned volunteering, because I'm sure too, you know, a lot of people aren't sure, you know, if either United Way or partner agencies have been, you know, getting out again. Because I know a lot of times volunteers weren't able to be engaged, but it almost seems like a lot of organizations now are reopening volunteer opportunities, of course, safely.
Yes. Yes. I think, you know, not only, is there still a need for those volunteers, perhaps more than ever, but also I think now, you know, we've learned what we need to do to keep everyone safe, vaccines, masks, social distancing. And so if you're interested in making a really big impact through any one of our partners or other opportunities in the community, we work with the Bloomington Volunteer Network, and folks can go to the website and see all of the opportunities listed to get involved. And if you have questions or, you know, have another thought in your head as to how you can contribute your unique skill sets, give us a call and let's talk. Sometimes, you know, people have really creative things that they have to offer, and it may not be on that menu at the Volunteer Network, but maybe we can make a connection.
Very nice. Any other events coming up associated with the Reimagine Our Future, like dining out? I know sometimes you've done Dine and Donates.
Yeah, thank you for asking, because on October 11th, from 4 to 9 p.m., if you go eat at Chipotle on Kirkwood, proceeds will go to United Way's fundraising drive, and that's a really easy and delicious way to help.
Both at the same time. You can't lose, right?
Carry out, dine in, whatever you want to do.
So the funds that are raised then too, so, you know, from this fundraising drive that happens to Reimagine Our Future, then what happens with those funds? It's obviously this goes for a couple months, right?
Yeah. So we have our annual cycle of determining how we spend that money in the community. And there is a committee of volunteers who helps review the needs in the community, very data focused, and then also the capacity of partner agencies to fulfill those needs. And they help make those recommendations on funding. So this is what these dollars support, along with United Way's capacity to be here and be responsive to the emerging needs. I'm sorry, to the emerging needs of our community, whether it's a pandemic or flooding or tornadoes or something else that comes along that we can't anticipate. We were able to respond to all of these things in the recent years because of supporters year-round who help make sure that we're here in this role as a problem solver, as a convener, and as a partner to the nonprofits who are doing that hard work on the ground day in, day out.
No, and I think that's really critical and crucial, and especially, you know, with the pandemic, I can imagine that, are you seeing needs greater than in the past?
Yes, yes, unfortunately. And we know it'll take some time to rebuild from this, but people are still, you know, struggling, especially if they're employed in anything hospitality related. And that's a major sector in our community. That sector is not recovered. And, you know, we also know that we have some challenges with affordable housing as it is, and those challenges have been exacerbated for many. We're concerned about the eviction moratorium that's running out and the impact that'll have. And so we're trying to bulk up on the services needed to prevent evictions, to support people and help them, you know, weather the winter and the sometimes high bills that come with winter. Mm-hmm. And to also find those opportunities to maybe retrain for a job, mm-hmm. And what they need to do that, because again, if one sector is taking a while to bounce back, some people mm-hmm. are starting to look at what else they could do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that requires some retraining, some mm-hmm. coursework, some certificate, or maybe a new outfit, mm-hmm. you know, to go use. And we have partners who help with all of that. So we're looking at both the, you know, immediate demands for basic needs, but also how we can build that resilience in individuals, including their economic resilience.
Mm-hmm. So sounds like you're optimistic for the next few months, and hopefully things will keep improving.
I hope so too, Denise. I think we are optimistic, just knowing how well this community comes together to support each other. And we saw that with COVID. Our COVID relief fund raised $2.2 million in the last 8 months.
That's amazing.
Thank you. But that, you know, that just speaks to all of the generosity out there. And the Lilly Foundation, I really want to credit the Lilly Endowment with a good chunk of gifts, but so many were local and helped get the attention of some of those bigger funders. Mm-hmm. And again, these were funds, 100% went out to agencies. We were able to support 47 nonprofit agencies in our region, and the critical work that they do that really spanned all of those basic needs we talked about and much, much more. Mm.
Well, Afrat, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and wish you continued success and hope Reimagine Our Future really helps you get all of these wonderful goals accomplished.
Thank you so much, Denise. We couldn't do it without you and others in the community helping to amplify the message, so we're ever grateful.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.